Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message tonight is The Gift of a Future. We're going to talk about something tonight I've talked about before, but I've got some new information I want to share with you. I'm going to be making a confession tonight, telling y'all a story I've never told you before that happened in 2017. We're going to be talking about mentors and mentoring. A mentor is someone who disciples or teaches you one-on-one. Jesus mentored all the disciples. Elijah mentored Elisha. And if you read about them in 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see in some of the verses, it talks about Elijah and the sons of the prophets. So I think he probably mentored the sons of the prophets as well. They probably said, here, teach our sons. Y'all have heard me talk about the mentor that I had that was out of Oklahoma City when I lived in Oklahoma. After she mentored me for about 4 years, the Lord told me I didn't need mentors anymore. I didn't need to have a mentor after that. She did a really good job. So her name was Beverly. I'm going to tell you about her. I met Beverly Wilhoit in the county clerk's office in Anadarko, Oklahoma in 2004 or 2005. I think it was 2005 when I lived briefly in Anadarko. And she said that I told her, I don't know who you are, but I know you're saved. Beverly has a smile that just lights up the room. And I know anytime I meet somebody like that, that smiles all the time and there's peace all around them, I know they belong to the Lord. At that time, I didn't have a mentor. I'd had one briefly when I was working in South Louisiana in 1997. At the time I met her, I don't remember where her desk was, but I remember I used to sit someplace. She sat someplace in a desk wherever it was that I would go see her. And I would sit in a chair by her desk and just listen to her talk. And to this day, I still remember wanting to sit there for longer and not being able to. I think because I was where she worked. But every time I could, I'd go sit down by her for a minute or so, and she would always teach me something about the Lord. And she was not my mentor when this was happening. We had just met and were friends. She has a very calming presence, and I just love sitting and listening to her. And that was the anointing on her drawing me in. She said a few weeks later, I walked in and I asked her if she knew about Melchizedek. And she said, yes. And I said, I want to sow my first fruits to you then. And she said, I put a check for $500 on her desk. I don't remember that, but it sounds like something I would do. There was another female pastor. Beverly was not a pastor. She's a prophetess. But there was a female pastor that somehow we both knew. I don't remember how. I think I might have met her at this one church in Elk City. But Beverly knew her and had been friends with her for a long time. Anyway, at some point, I was in the presence of both of them. I think the other pastor came to the courthouse or came to where Beverly worked. I can't remember for sure. And I remember after talking to the other pastor, I remember her saying, God told me I'm going to be your mentor. And God had just told me that Beverly was my mentor, so I knew that wasn't true. And I looked at her and I said, well, he told me that she was my mentor. So if he lets me know different, I'll let you know. Which, of course, he didn't. So I'm going to tell y'all a story I never told you before. Y'all know I love to tell stories. This is the one and only time in my life this has ever happened to me. And it was in very early February of 2017 when I lived here in Arkansas when it happened. So it was 2 years ago, back 2.5 years ago. Beverly mentored me for about 4 years. I loved her. She was a really good mentor. I mean, she'd call you up every day, check on you, see how you were doing, see if you need to be prayed for, anything like that. I mean, she was very attentive, which not all mentors are that attentive. But back then, I was still real carnal. And sometimes I had a boyfriend. I remember this one boyfriend that I dated for a while. And I remember I would be, you know, we would be like watching a movie or something, and he was about to kiss me, and she would ring my phone, y'all. She was getting all up in my business. And I was like, she is just getting up all in my business. And I don't know what to do about this. But I knew she was my mentor, so I couldn't really say anything. And she'll laugh if she hears this because I never told her that. But it wasn't her. It was the Holy Ghost told her to call me. Because he was trying to get in my business and keep me from getting into sin. So anyway, the Lord told me that she was my mentor. He said, she's going to be your mentor, and I want you to tithe to her. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. So I started out, I was obeying him. I was tithing my whole tithe to her. But sometimes one of the ministries I was listening to would offer a tape set or something that I really thought I needed, and I would send part of my tithe to them so I could get that tape set, because I was in my truck sometimes driving 2 hours each way to the courthouse, and I needed some word to listen to, y'all. I was carnal. Now, I'm telling y'all, I needed a lot of word, okay? And I knew I needed a lot. And I did get a lot of my spiritual food from those ministries too, but that's not the point. The Lord told me to tithe to her. And he didn't say, unless you don't feel like it or unless somebody offers some good tapes you want. He said, tithe to her, okay? She was mentoring me on a daily basis, and those ministries were not. And it was her that took the time to answer my many questions, not those ministries, which meant she was the storehouse the Bible told me to bring my whole tithe into. All right, y'all are getting what I'm putting down here. The Lord told me years ago when I asked him, I was learning about the tithe, that the storehouse is wherever you are taking your spiritual food out of. You're taking meat out of the house. So you have to put meat back in the house, so the next person who comes after you, there's meat there in that house for them, okay? That's the way that works. This is what he taught me himself. I didn't learn this out of a book. It's where you are supposed to tithe to is different for each person. But what this means is my whole tithe should have been going all to her until he told me that it went somewhere else, because that's his money. So I was spending his money on tape sets he didn't tell me to buy, okay? So, okay, anyway, so here it's early February 2017. I'm here in Arkansas, and I'm walking around my house one day doing something or other, and I was thinking about when she used to mentor me, and I don't know why I was thinking about that day. I don't remember that far back. And I began to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost that I had not tithed my whole tithe to her those years she mentored me. And so I prayed for God to bless the woman of God, and I kept on going about my business, okay? But it kept happening. It kept happening, y'all. It happened again the next day, and it happened again the next day, and it kept happening. The Holy Ghost kept bringing it up to me. He kept bringing her up to me. So finally, when he wouldn't stop, I got the idea that maybe I'd start sending part of my tithe now to her to kind of make up for those years, because I really was feeling convicted. I was feeling bad about that. So I prayed, and I felt like the Lord was in agreement. I always have to ask, because it is his money. And I contacted her on Facebook, and I said, I need your address. I said, I'm going to send you an offering. I didn't tell her what I was going to do. I just told her then I was going to send her an offering. And when I did tell her what I was going to do, I thought she was going to go out in the spirit, y'all. It was pretty funny. But it turns out she had been telling the Lord that she had to have some increase because she was not going to be able to pay all her bills if she didn't. I'm going to tell y'all why that really upsets me in just a minute. Now, I just want to say this. I'm going to tell you right now. I asked the prophetess tonight. I messaged her on Facebook, and I said, how many people are you mentoring now? She is mentoring 30 people. That woman should not have to do without a single thing. Can I just tell you that? Okay, this upsets me. This upsets me, y'all. If 30 people are doing anything near what they're supposed to be doing, if they even tithe $10 a piece a week to her, I don't think she would be in need. What do y'all think? So somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Can I just say that? I hate to think that they are all taking her time and attention and prayers for granted, or worse, that they aren't even tithing anywhere at all. I would hate to think that they are all tithing elsewhere when I know the time and effort she puts into every single person she mentors. I would really hate to think that. Y'all know what? We need to obey God when he tells us to give. And you know when God is telling you to give. Even if you don't hear him speak, you know. Don't tell me you don't. And by the way, I am not preaching this to get people to give me offerings. So I want y'all to know that up front. I am preaching this to help you. Okay? Your giving has to be led by God. And he does lead every Christian to give. There are no exceptions. Okay, moving along. I don't remember when I found out, but at some point, I found out that Prophetess Beverly had been homeless when she was mentoring me. She was couch surfing, y'all. Let me tell you something. Whenever you don't tithe and give like you're supposed to, somebody does without. Can I just tell you that? It may be that God asked me when I get to heaven why I had such a hard time obeying a direct command that I heard very clearly with his money to tithe to her, and he may show me what all she had to go through while she was helping me in my spiritual walk, helping me grow. Maybe if I had obeyed God that whole time, she would not have been homeless. I reaped that, by the way, during the Great Recession in 2009 and 10, when I went through that very terrifying wilderness, which was the worst of all the wilderness seasons I went through, probably because of this, when I almost became homeless myself. When I came through that, a number of people told me afterwards that God had told them to give to me, but they had not obeyed. You will reap what you sow. If you sow disobedience, you will reap it. Can I just tell you that? So I want you to know right now, if God has told you to give to somebody, that means they have a need. And if you don't obey, guess what? You're going to reap what you sow. You are going to be in need, and somebody's not going to do what they're supposed to do. Okay? Please hear me on this. The Lord has told us there are times of great need coming up. If you expect him to provide and give to you, you better be in obedience when he tells you to give to somebody else. Because that's the way that works. You better be in obedience anyway, because he's God, and at the end of the day, everything we have belongs to him anyway. We just get to borrow it while we're here. Don't you dare ask God to bless you financially if you are stealing from him now. Jesus told the Pharisees in the New Testament, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you have to have done," which he means tithe, "and not leave the other undone," which means judgment and the love of God. Okay, that's Luke 11:42, if you want to go read it in your Bible and check me on what it says. And it's the verse God gave to me years ago when I asked him to confirm that tithing is for now, because some people gave me a hard time about it and said, "That's Old Testament, that's blah, 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 blah." You can think that if you want to, but he said it in the New Testament. Luke 11:42. And somebody else I read about, I can't remember what magazine, it was like Spirit-Led Woman or one of the magazines I read about, ask him the same question, he gave them the same scripture, and I didn't know that person and they didn't know me. Okay, let's talk about mentors. Because a mentor, a good mentor, is a gift. And a mentor will help you reach your future. So they are the gift of a future. Because if you don't get a mentor, you might not have that kind of future. I'm just saying. I don't know that every person gets a mentor, but I'm 99% sure that if every person called to ministry gets one, or maybe a string of them. I had more than one mentor, but I probably needed more help than most people. Just saying. Okay, so let's talk about how you know who your mentor is. Let's say that you're called to ministry, and let's say that you've met somebody you think they might be your mentor, but you're not sure. Number one, you will both know who your mentor is. You won't be the only one who knows. Like the woman who walked up to me and said, "God told me I'm your mentor." That's not what God told me. You will both hear the same thing, okay? You'll both know that that person is supposed to be your mentor. Or if you're the mentor, you'll both know that you're supposed to mentor them. Every time I've been given a mentor, God spoke to me and said, "This is your mentor," or "Learn from this person," or "I'm moving you from this person to that person." Either when I was in a conversation with them or when I was praying about something. And he has always, always, always also confirmed it with that person who was going to mentor me. All true mentors are God appointed. This is extremely important. Only God knows what you need to learn next, and only He knows who has it. You do not choose them, and they do not choose you. Okay? Let me tell you a secret. God will not promote you until you are equipped. You might promote yourself, but if you promote yourself, you better be able to keep yourself where you promote yourself to, because He's not going to keep you where He didn't put you. Can I just tell you that? Mentors, the true mentor is God appointed. God knows. He will give you the mentor that has what you need next to go up to the next level. And He's the only one who knows where the next level is. And He's the only one who knows what you're missing. Okay? It is important to appreciate your mentor. Mentors make a huge commitment of time and effort when they accept you as a protege. They will take attacks in the spirit. If you are called to a high calling or you are highly anointed, they will get attacked because of you, because they are mentoring you, okay? A mentor should never, ever, ever try to control you. I've heard of cases where mentors did that. If someone tries to control you, pray first, but that is likely no longer your mentor or never was to begin with. My dog is snoring really loud if y'all hear that. Okay, a mentor should always call forth the gifts that are in you, okay? This is something Beverly did extremely well. She still does that to this day. She would call me up. Y'all, I was so carnal back then. It was pitiful. I believed in God, loved God, but I was carnal. When I came into this walk, I had a lot of sin. When you are in the occult for over 10 years, you got a lot of demons on you. Can I just tell you that? I knew nothing about deliverance. I had no idea how to get free of sin. I thought you were just supposed to stop doing it. And when you're real demonized, that's nearly impossible to do. Okay. So I was a mess is what I was. I was a mess, but I was a mess that loved God, and she saw that in me. So she recognized what she told me. She said, I saw who you worried God. So she didn't see me who I was then. She saw who I was called to be. And she started calling me that. She would call me up on the phone and go, good morning, woman of God. And after she did that enough times, I thought, I'm a woman of God. I started seeing myself that way. I will tell you something. You cannot be what you cannot see. If you cannot see it in your mind, you will never be it. And so what she did is she put that image in my mind with her words so that I could start growing into that. She would call me up and she would say, good morning, prophetess. I'd never been called prophetess before. I wasn't prophesying back then. I mean, I would occasionally get a word of knowledge or something, but I wasn't prophesying back then. But God showed her who I was, and she started calling that forth, and she was stirring up and activating that gift. Your mentor has spiritual authority over you, very similar to what a pastor has. God gives them that authority when He appoints them. And they are standing in that authority when they intercede for you. It is a very important position in your life. And you, if you are being mentored, should show it every respect because of that. A true mentor will intercede for you every day. They will pray for you every single day. And the Lord will speak things to them for you. People that I mentored were the only people I could interpret dreams for. I'm not a dream interpreter. But whenever I was mentoring somebody, if they had a dream that was from God, that was like a forewarning or a message dream or something from Him, He would give me the interpretation of their dream. And He would always give me words for people that I mentored. They didn't always receive them, but He always gave them to me. If the Lord appoints a mentor over you, you should be very respectful of their time. You should not call them 5 times a day. You should not be bombing their inbox asking 1,000 questions a day. They have many responsibilities. Like Beverly, Prophetess Beverly has 30 people she mentors right now. If she was mentoring me, I would not want to take very much of her time. I would want to be very efficient with my questions and so forth. They have their own walk and life to maintain, and you should respect their time a lot more than to be calling them on the phone all the time or bombing their inbox, okay? There should be trust between you and your mentor. If the person you are mentoring does not trust you, if you're the mentor, you're wasting your time because they won't listen and apply what the Lord gives you to teach them. I've had that happen before. It's very frustrating. or if they're not trying to learn and they just want your attention all the time, but they're doing nothing with it, they're going nowhere fast, or if they are prideful. I had one of those one time. That's really frustrating. Our last conversation was they were going to straighten me out. And this was somebody who was just, in the walk for like 20 minutes or something. It was pretty funny, but anyway. Not that I don't occasionally need straightening out, but the Lord does a real good job. Okay, but if they're real prideful, they think they know better than what God tells you for them, you can ask him if you're released, because at that point, they just become a time waster in your life. Okay, if you are the person who has a mentor appointed over you, these traits should always be there in your mentor. There should be trust. Are they wise? Can they hear from God? Are you assured they won't blab your business all over town or at the church social? Because that's also important. They should have enough sense to know when to keep their mouth closed. I never, ever, for one moment, doubted that with Beverly. I never worried about that with her. I never had to. They should be honest. That should be a no-brainer, but they should be honest. And they should have the kind of honesty where they can speak truth to you in love. If you're in sin, they should be able to tell you and do it in love, not in judgment. You should have respect for them, because they cannot mentor you if you do not respect them, okay? And they deserve your respect if they're a good mentor. They should be noticeably more mature and or knowledgeable, or in other words, ahead of you in the walk. Because people can't take you where they've not been. If I go to Africa and I'm going to go on a safari, I want a guide who's been on that safari and knows that area frontwards and backwards. I don't want somebody that's just walked it one time, because that's not much better than me, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, you should feel very comfortable with them and or drawn to them. They should have the gift of teaching. The teaching gift is the ability to take hard things and break it down into tiny, simple terms where it makes perfect sense to somebody who has no clue about it. Otherwise, you will both be very frustrated. You should be able to receive correction and reproof from them without getting angry or offended at them. They should be like Beverly. Beverly has a great gift for loving. She can love you and tell you you're sinning in the same breath and do it with a smile on her face, and it's not offensive. And she does it in a way that you hear Jesus and you can receive it like, okay, she's right. I'm out of line here, and you repent. They should be very patient. That woman has the patience of a saint, and she needed it with me, I'm telling you. They should be very happy and open to answer your questions. In other words, they should be approachable. You shouldn't be afraid to go and ask a question. You must be willing to sow into that person or ministry financially if you do not belong to a church. If you do belong to a church you are already tithing to, you should pray and ask the Lord how he would have you to sow to them as well. That's very important, because that is your storehouse. And that's what God's word says to do. Okay. Speaking of the tithe, I got to tell y'all something I read. I got this little brochure. I'm on the mailing list for several different ministries that I've given to over the years. And I got this one from this one ministry. And this girl was telling what her dad taught her about finances, taught her about money when she was a little girl. She was 6 years old when her parents started giving her an allowance, and they started giving her a dollar a week years ago. She's probably around my age, maybe younger. And when her father, who was a preacher, put this dollar in her hand, he said, "Now, here's the thing. The whole dollar is in your hand, but only 90 cents of it belongs to you." And he explained to her why. And he explained it in such a way that she was excited that she got to sow into God's kingdom with that other 10 cents that belonged to God. And so from that day forward, she tithed. Let me tell you the result of that. When she became an adult, God started pointing out to her pieces of land to buy, and he'd say, "Buy that one and buy that one," and she would buy them. And then he would wait years, and then he would say, sell that one. And, you know, he would tell her when the time was to sell, and she'd make a fortune on some of this land. Now, I know some of you, and then she would tithe on the profit of the land deals too. So I know some of you have been wondering why God doesn't do that with you. Let me tell you why. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. He could trust her when she just had a dollar. Can he trust you? He can trust her if he gives her $1 million. But if he can't trust you when you've got 5 or you've got 20, you'll never get $1 million. Can I just tell you that? If you do, it won't be from him. I'm just telling you. If you don't tithe when you have a little, you won't tithe when you have much. Because tithing is not a money question. Tithing is a faith question. It is a question of, do you have enough faith in God to do what he says, and do you trust him enough to let go of that 10% that's his? When you really start getting faith, you'll tithe more than 10%, okay? Because we're supposed to tithe and offer. The offering is like a gratitude offering. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me so much. Here's some extra. That is a gratitude offering to him. The tithe is already his. Okay, but just remember, he won't give you more if he can't trust you with what you already have, and you should not expect him to. So you must have enough respect for a person that's appointed as your mentor that you can freely sow to that person if the Lord tells you to do that. Your mentor must be able to pray powerfully over you in times of crisis. That's something Prophetess Beverly does very well. Your mentor must be non-judgmental. You should be able to go to them and pour out your heart about any sin or temptation that you're dealing with, and they should be able to go, oh, here, baby, let me pray for you. Okay? Okay, about those that you mentor, they should respect you and your schedule. They should be teachable. That means not prideful and thinking that they know everything more than you do. They should listen and apply what the Lord gives you for them. They should be able to approach you and pour out their hearts about anything they're struggling with. If the person that you're mentoring does become prideful and they become disrespectful or they become unteachable, like that one person I was mentoring years ago, God will generally release you in those cases. And what he does is he goes on to deal with that person, and he'll bring them another mentor at some point, more than likely. Okay, that's all I have for y'all tonight. I would have had this done earlier, but we had a power outage that lasted for a little while. And God did a miracle, or I wouldn't be able to do this tonight at all. It would have had to go till tomorrow because one of my laptops broke. It won't connect to the internet anymore. And so all I have is this little tablet. And I thought, okay, well, this tablet has a battery that's, you know, if you... After you have some tablets or laptops for a while, the battery wears out and it won't hold a charge anymore. This tablet's battery is worn completely out. So I was working on the podcast when the power outage went, and I'm like, oh, great, here's the power outage. My tablet's fixing to die on me. And so I saved the document that I had. And I thought, well, let me just keep making notes for as long as I can. And I cannot explain this because it won't do this any other time. But it stayed powered up the entire time, and it is not plugged into a power supply. And it kept working the whole time the power was out. And I cannot explain that because the battery in this tablet is so bad that I have to pray when I move it from one room to the next, when I have to unplug it from the power and walk from one room to the next, because sometimes it'll shut down. That's how bad the battery is. So I cannot explain that anyway except to say, the Lord wanted this message out tonight. Somebody needs to hear this. If you have a good mentor, appreciate them. And whether you are being mentored or you are a mentor, do your part because you will reap what you sow, good or bad. God is never mocked. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 7239 or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. Available in print version, Kindle version, and new audiobook.
Chapter 15, Curse of Illegitimacy, also known as the Bastard Curse. What is the illegitimacy curse, also known as the bastard curse? What does it cause, and how can you tell if you're living under it? Deuteronomy 23:2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard is commonly defined as a child conceived out of wedlock. Notice that definition is not defined by when the child is born, but when it was conceived. A recent study by the CDC shows 40.6% of U.S. births were to unmarried women in 2013, which means this curse is rampant in our population right now. Deuteronomy 23:2 says a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Although scripture does not say definitively how long a generation is, if it is even 40 years, that means this curse continues for a minimum of 400 years on these children and their generations. What happens if someone does not enter the congregation of the Lord? They lose all the benefits of the congregation, also called the assembly in the Strong's. They lose the fellowship, encouragement, and other benefits of being part of the congregation or assembly of the Lord. This curse is lust and rebellion based. Lust because it is lust that causes us to get into fornication instead of waiting on marriage and God's full blessing on our union. And rebellion because fornication is rebellion against God's rules about sex and His way of doing things. Because of the link to lust and rebellion will always be seen in the lives of these illegitimate children, usually for their entire lives.